pray that you all have had a good week. I certainly have. In thinking about the things that I'd like to speak about this morning, what happens to us when we die? My thoughts have been around death and life and resurrection for several weeks. Most people only preach the resurrection, or most people only hear about the resurrection on what we call Easter Sunday. But the Bible speaks about it extensively, and there are many things that we need to understand about resurrection. There are a lot of questions about it. If you don't think there are, and there's a lot of answers, some of them are correct, and some of them are in error. If you don't think there's a lot of answers about it, just ask somebody, what do you think happens to us when we die? And however many people you ask, you'll probably get that many different answers. But I'd like to keep this scriptural, as we all ought to do, but there are some things that we can infer based on what we know. First of all, there are only two outcomes at death. Ultimately, there will be heaven for the righteous, and there will be hell for the unrighteous or the wicked. That's two big categories, isn't it? I don't know who's individually going to be in either place, except to say this: those that are Christ's will be with Him, and those that are not will not. The Bible is very plain on that. Now, I want to read some about what Brother Job wrote in chapter 14. And I want to start in verse 1 of chapter 14 of Job. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Amen. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? He's talking to his friends now. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish in an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree. This is kind of, he didn't start here, but this is where I want you to really start listening. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me! Exclamation point. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. I tell you, that's a great question, isn't it? If a man die, shall he live again? We can talk about this, that, or infer from this, that there is an appointed time. Job's not talking about his appointed time to die. He's talking about his appointed time he's going to wait. He's talking about the time from his death until his rebirth or his resurrection, his change. That's an appointed time, brethren. That is a time that is going to come, and Job is saying that he is going to continue in that grave until that time, and he's going to wait there. At least his body is going to wait in that grave. I'll tell you, all these people are waiting on their appointed time out here in the graveyard behind us. They're waiting till that time when the Lord comes back. But I tell you, to understand, and Job said that he said, though in my body, he says, I'm going to see him as he is. He says, those skin worms devour this body. Now, I tell you, that's what's going to happen to us. I'm sorry. That's what's going to happen to these tabernacles of our body. When we die, the spirit leaves it, and soul leaves it. And we find out from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 where that goes. It goes back to God who gave it. Now, there's a lot in this, and this is a very difficult subject, because he's not always talking about every person when he's talking about the spirit leaving the body and where it goes particularly. He's talking, I think, Solomon in Ecclesiastes was talking about those that were Christ's. What happens to us when we die? I tell you that when Sonia and I always took our kids to funerals, we didn't shield them from the fact of life that there is death. And I remember very explicitly one day that we attended the funeral of my father-in-law, Sonia's father. And we took Drew, it was, I believe, up to the casket. And he touched him and he said, "That's not Papa." I said, "You're right, son. What made him Papa is not in that body anymore. That spirit went back to God." So even at a young age, he could tell that there was a difference between the living and the dead. Something that animated. There's something that animates every one of us, and that is causes us to live, or is an evidence that we're alive. And when that leaves that body and that body dies, that thing still lives on whether you are wicked or whether you are just. Do you all agree with that? I agree with that. The Bible agrees with that. There are many instances, so many instances in the Scriptures that talk about the departing and the continuing of those spirits and souls. We find David, when he had committed that sin with Bathsheba, and a son was produced, and he had that, she had that son, and God took that son, but while he was sick, David mourned for that child, that maybe peradventure God might show mercy upon him and let him live. But God didn't do that. And after they came in and told David that his son had died, what did David do? He washed his face and he ate, and the servants were afraid because they thought maybe David is going to get just as much as he's mourning now while the child's alive, surely it's going to be worse after he died. But David didn't do that. David washed himself and he ate, and he says, "He cannot come to me, but I can go to him," which demonstrates a continuance after death. David realized that. He knew that. Job knew that. If a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, Job. Yes, Job said it. Yes. A man dies and he lives. There's something in him that remains like the root of the tree that's in the ground dead. That yet there's something in it that at the scent of water, it's going to bud again. I tell you, to understand this, we have to understand that there is something within us that will never die. And the Spirit of God is that, and I'm thankful that most of the time that God wrote down in His Scriptures and talked about His people, He talked about those, and when he talked about death and resurrection and all that, most of the time he's talking about the people that have his spirit within them. But there are places in the Scripture that describes the place of the wicked. It describes that in Jude. It describes it in so many different places. You can look at Job chapter 20, I believe. Yeah, Job chapter 20. This is right after Job says, in 19 and 22. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, Job says, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I tell you, Job understood something about the continuance of this spirit, and not only that, but that the resurrection was very real, and that he knew, he didn't know how it was going to come about, but he knew that his Redeemer lived, and that he had always lived, and he was always going to live, and that he knew that the one that redeemed him, he was going to see him in his flesh. So at some point, whatever is left this body is going to return to this body and be reanimated, but it's going to reanimate it in an incorruptible way. And I'm getting ahead of myself, because I want to talk about a little bit more about what goes on between now and then. What goes on at death? What happens at death? Well, we know what happens to... We have some things that we know about what happens to the wicked at death. Job chapter 20. I can't read it all. It's the whole chapter. Well, I could read it all. But he starts out and he says, this is Zophar, the Naamathite. He says, don't you know, in verse 4, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed on the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment? Though his excellency mount up to the heavens and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung, that they which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream and shall not be found, yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. His children shall seek to please the poor, and his hand shall restore their goods. I tell you, that's talking about, I mean, it goes on and on and on, but it talks about darkness and blackness. It talks about the place that they are, that the wicked are. And I'm telling you, friends, I don't know where that is, but some way Jude talks about that the darkness and blackness is reserved for them forever. The Bible talks about the wicked and that God knows how to reserve unto judgment those wicked people. I don't know where they are, and you don't know where they are, but I tell you this, they're in hell right now. And I don't know, and I'm going to tell you this, you know how our spirits right now, I can feel, I can see, I can smell, I can taste, I can hear. I have all of my senses right now. Right? Now, when I die, my body is not sensible. It doesn't have its senses anymore. You can't prick it and it feel it. You can't scream at it and it hear you. You can't pour water into it and it be thirsty, or it won't be thirsty, but it won't be quenched. It can't speak. A dead man can't do anything. A dead body can't do anything, right? Except for rot. That's all that they can do. Now, but something about this makes us realize that when we die, our body loses consciousness, but our spirits do not. The Bible speaks about the torment of the wicked. I want to talk about that. You know, Jude talks about, the whole chapter of Jude talks about that. About the wicked being a darkness and a torment. And Mark records the words of Jesus where he talked about where their worm dieth not. You know, that's a place of continual decay. Have y'all ever... it's kind of grody to think about. Constant decay. It doesn't take things long to start stinking after they die. Does it? I put some fish in the garbage can that I had cleaned, and the next day, I don't want to go all into it, but it was nasty. I mean, those corpses decay, and there is a place really where their worm dieth not. Now, though the body can't feel and see, the Bible seems to indicate that they're still in torment. I want to take you to a place. And this is found in Luke chapter 16. Y'all turn over there because this is serious. Luke 16. I want to hammer this point because this is what everybody wants to know. Luke 16. What happens to us when we die? Okay. Verse 19. The Lord is talking to the Pharisees who were covetous. And they derided Him, it says in verse 14. In verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That, what does that mean, fared sumptuously? That means that he lived in great comfort. That means that he didn't want for anything. That means that he was very rich and he didn't, anything that he wanted, he got. Okay? He lived lavishly. And there was a certain beggar, on the other hand, named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. That means at the rich man's gate. And this man Lazarus was full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. I want to ask you a question. Is this talking about eternal heaven after the Lord comes with the trumpet? Let's keep reading. Because lest you think that this is talking about eternal, the eternal place after death. I mean, after the resurrection. Let's keep reading. And beside all this, in verse 26, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That means a big span of space and time, I guess. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, this is the rich man in hell. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Let your brothers hear the prophets and Moses. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I tell you, this is a big subject, isn't it? But I tell you, I read all that to tell you there are some things that happen to us at our death that Jesus said was that where they were, that the man that was tormented in this life, in this world, and didn't do well in this world, that man was taken to Abraham's bosom, and it was a place of glorious rest. And the place of the rich man who fared sumptuously and loved this world and had all of this world's goods and didn't have any compassion on the Lazarus or the poor, didn't have any compassion on them, that man's end, not that made that his end, but that man's end, being wicked, was in a perpetual torment. Whether he was, but his body was not, even though it says, let him come and touch my tongue. I think that is just a, not that he had a real tongue, but that his spirit was tormented in that place. And that he, and it was, what's the word? Not an allegory, a symbol of his torment, saying, I just want just one drop to help cool this flame. So spirits, brethren, are tormented, and the spirits of the wicked are tormented at death, and the spirits of the righteous are in glorious rest. That doesn't mean their soul's sleeping. Amen. That's not a thing. Soul sleeping is not a thing. The consciousness of the body ceases at death, but the consciousness of the spirits continues on wherever they go, whether it's to the joy of the Lord in Abraham's bosom, or whether it's in some kind of torment, wherever they are in hell, in the grave, wherever that is, wherever God reserved them unto judgment, wherever that is, that's a place of great torment and flame, it says. If you're asking me how in the world could they be in a flame and not be consumed or annihilated, if you can explain how God could cause a bush to burn and not be consumed, that's how He does it. I don't know. That's how He does it. So, the Bible establishes the fact that whether they are in the body or out of the those that are at death, we're out of the body, the body ceases to live, and the spirits are either tormented or they're in great joy with the Lord. I got other places. I mean, I don't want to talk about the wicked all day, but let's not. Let's talk about the other part. David said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. Amen. That's talking about going up. Now, this, we have the testimony of the thief on the cross, don't we? The thief shared in the crucifixion. He was crucified. Two thieves were crucified at the same time that Christ was. And at that day, that both of those thieves on either side of the Lord mocked Him and reviled Him, and they cast the same in their teeth that the mockers were mocking Him on the ground. That seems strange to me, but you think about that. And then something happened to that one, and I believe he was on the right hand. I can't prove that, but I believe he was a sheep because the Lord told him. He says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus told him, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." And yet that same day, Jesus went to the grave, but yet Jesus was in paradise. Hallelujah. Amen. That body that was prepared, Jesus, died and went into the grave. They took it, they put it into the tomb. If you really want, you know, we really got to start with Jesus when we start talking about the resurrection, don't we? We have to start with Jesus. Even though there's a lot said about the resurrection of our bodies, it all starts with Jesus, that He might have the preeminence. Amen? Now, so Jesus is in the grave, and they come to prepare the spices for Him, and they come and they see the stone rolled away, and the angel says, "He's not here, He's risen." What joy and gladness and wonderment, and maybe even some doubt, certainly some doubt, came upon those disciples. And at His resurrection, after His resurrection, Jesus appeared to several of them, but I want to bring out just one thing. They were all in the house, but the doors were shut because they were afraid. You know, they came with a mob to take Jesus. They were taking them too. And they were afraid. And guess what? Jesus just appeared. The Bible makes it very plain for a reason that the doors were shut. Jesus just materialized, walked through the door in front of them, and they were all afraid. Why? Because they thought they'd seen a ghost, a spirit. And Jesus sat down and said, "Do you have any meat?" They said, "We got some fish." So He ate a piece of broiled fish, and He says, "Spirits don't eat. Have flesh and body." And yet He was able to do that in His flesh and His body. You start thinking about that. You start studying and meditating about that. You are going to have your mind thrown for a loop, because it's going to go all the way back to what Einstein talked about in pure energy. E equals MC squared. You can't help it if you go all the way back into that. Talks about physics and laws. I'll tell you what happens to us when we die. Well, we know that's one thing. When we die, when the righteous die, their soul and spirit goes back to God who gave it. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "This day shall you be with me in paradise." So that same day, Jesus' body went to the tomb, and yet he said, "I'm in paradise." Conscious. It wouldn't be paradise if you couldn't understand it, right? It wouldn't be something to enjoy if you couldn't at some point be conscious or understand where you were. A lot of mysteries surrounding this stuff. A lot of mysteries, isn't it? You know those ghost hunters and all those shows and all, they talk about those spirits. I don't know about all that. I know it's a realm that I don't want to mess with. I know that. Just because we can't see things with our eyes doesn't mean that they're not real. Whether it's the righteous or the wicked. You remember Elijah's servant? When they had all the Midianites, I think, were encamped against them all out in the valley. And Elijah's servant said, "Master, what are we going to do?" He was just trembling. And Elijah said, "Lord..." Hey, or he told him, he said, "There's more with us than there are with them." And he says, "Are you crazy? What are you talking about?" And Elijah said, "Lord, open his eyes." And he saw chariots of fire all in the sky. You can read about that in 2 Kings. There are things that you and I don't understand. There are things that you and I can't see, but they're there. The resurrection is such a vast subject. So there's a place that's reserved for the wicked unto or against all the way up to the day of judgment. And there's a place where the righteous go. And they are both conscious of their places. The wicked are conscious of their torment and the righteous are conscious of their joy. And yet, there's going to happen... There's another event that they're waiting all their appointed time. And that day is when their change come, Job said. Now at that day, when the Lord comes back and He gives a shout, guess what? Everybody in the graves are going to be raised. They're going to, whether they're wicked or just. Did you know the Lord, when He comes back, there's going to be a resurrection. But not just of the righteous people. It's not just a resurrection of the righteous people. I want us to remember that. Sometimes I get to thinking when I hear people talk that they're just expecting the righteous people to come out of the graves and be caught up or be reunited with their bodies. Friends, that's not so. There is a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Of the wicked and the righteous. Every single person that was conceived and had a body, whether they were born or not, they're going to be raised from the dead. I don't care if their body was burned in a fire, eat up by sharks, blown up by bombs, or disintegrated in some other way, or lost at sea. I don't care where they are. God caused them to be born and formed from the dust of the ground. And if God constituted these bodies, He can reconstitute them however He wants by His power. And on that last day, when the Lord comes back and gives that shout, every one of those bodies, whether we see them or not, whether they're marked in a grave or not, all the unmarked places, wherever they are, that body is going to be raised again, and whatever spirit it had is going to reunite with that body. And at that point, then we're going to be, the righteous anyway, are going to be like Jesus Christ, and our bodies now are going, because right now, the spirits that are up there in paradise, the spirits and souls of all of God's people that are in paradise, they're some kind of way are not complete. There's something that they are lacking yet. And that is our bodies. They're experiencing glory in their spirit right now, but their bodies are yet to experience it. And when the Lord comes back and gives that shout, it will be, every one of them will be raised, and all of God's people will be changed. They'll be changed. Paul says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The dead will be raised, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. And I love that last part. He says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That means forever and ever. That means in a place where you can't leave. You can't fall from. You can't go on a vacation. It's going to ever be with Him. And if there's a resurrection of the just, there's also a resurrection of the unjust. And as the righteous go into glory and the place as prepared for them from the foundation of the world, so shall the wicked also go to their eternal home. The place where they will rest eternally. And the Bible says that death and hell gave up them, the dead that were in it. And death and hell and all those other ones that were in it were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the eternal resting place of the wicked. Amen? The Bible says that very plainly. And then it talks about the first resurrection and the second death. If there's a first resurrection, there's a second one, right? And if there's a second death, there must be a first one, right? You know what that's talking about? That's talking about the blessed is he that hath taken part in the first resurrection, that over him the second death hath no power. I didn't quote it exactly right, but that's pretty close. What that means is that what is the first resurrection? Well, we know that Jesus is the first resurrection. And that first resurrection, if you talking about being buried with Him by baptism, and He says, if we have been baptized into His into His death, so also shall we be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, I take that to mean that if that first resurrection, if we were in Christ, if we were represented in Christ at that first resurrection, that second death hath no power over us. And that this first resurrection is being in Christ, being born again, having His Spirit indwelling within us, and we'll be at home with Him in glory. The second death, the first death, let me say, is the death of these mortal bodies. The second death, friends, is the death of that final and complete separation that the wicked have from God for all eternity. That first death is just the death of our bodies, but the second death hath not power over those that are alive. Hallelujah. Not talking about being alive in these bodies, talking about being alive in the Spirit. Do y'all see that? Y'all see that? And so then, at the resurrection, when our spirits are reunited with these bodies, and then all will be complete, and the Bible says, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom, then and the last enemy that is destroyed is death. Amen. There'll be no more death for God's people. There'll be continual death and decay for the wicked. There'll be no more death for God's people. He delivers up that kingdom, and all will be complete at that day. Jesus, when He said, "It is finished," He said what He was talking about was His redemptive work, His justifying work, His salvation work, His work in bringing many sons home to glory. But it hasn't happened yet in reality for us, right? Because death still is there. His people still die. Their bodies still die. Let me put it like that. But at the last day, that reuniting, our spirits, if we're dead, our spirits are conscious of the joy. Brother Howard, Sister Omega, Sister Lucille, Sister Ann, so many people that we know and love that were God's people, they're experiencing the joy and happiness of being in paradise with the Lord right now. But at that day when the Lord shouts, and then they'll be able to experience it in their body in completeness. What a great thing. You know, it's about the same as me looking at pictures from somebody else's vacation. I can see the pictures and realize how good their time was, and that was great for them, but I've never been. I won't enjoy it until I actually go there. Even though I can see the pictures and imagine what it's like, I won't be able to really experience it unless I go there. I don't know if that's a great analogy, but anyway, if I died today and the Lord waited 1,000 years to come back, for 1,000 years I'll be up in glory with Him, but I'll be incomplete until I'm reunited back with this body. And when this body gets up there, I don't know. I think that I'll be able to experience it, even though I'm aware and conscious of the joy, I won't really feel it until my body is there. Y'all understand that? Does that make sense? I don't know. I believe, I don't think spirits eat. I know they don't. Jesus said they didn't. But yet Jesus ate after His resurrection. A spirit can't experience some of the things that God has for us in glory, I don't think. I'm not saying that eating's going to make it all better. But, and I can't tell you whether we are going to eat or whether we're not. But I know this, Jesus did. We'll be able to, I know that. The wicked have it as good as they're going to have it right now. on this earth. That's as good as they're ever going to have it. All their joys in the world are being enjoyed by them today. They're happy about their feet being swift to shed blood. They revel in it. They love all of their money, all their stuff. And this is as good as they're ever going to have it. Then when they die, their stuff goes to other people. But yet their spirits will be tormented. They're not tormented much right now. But you know, God's people are tormented right now. And this, I want to encourage you, because this world is the worst that you're ever going to have it. Whatever happens to you in this world, it's as bad as it could ever get. Because everlasting joy and peace awaits you as God's children. I pray that you will ponder and meditate about these things. The Bible says a lot about it. It's a way bigger subject than I can bring today. And you might get some more of it next time. Let's be a blessing to someone this week and not a cursing. Let's remember to be like Christ and show it to whoever you come in contact with, whether they're the righteous or the unrighteous. Because that's what God called us to do. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to walk in the paths of righteousness as Jesus commanded us.